Father God, we come to you this evening collectively as a church, just desiring to seek you. And I just thank you that in this time we can just come so boldly to your throne of grace and always find mercy to help us in our time of need. And I thank you that you're always so faithful to hear our prayers and that you love us with an everlasting love. Lord, I just lift up all those who are on their way here this evening, haven't made it yet, or on the roads. I pray that you would bring them in safely. I pray for all those in our church that are sick and afflicted and going through struggles and trials in their life. God, I pray that you would be with them and that you would bring them back here to your house and fill them with your spirit, God. We lift up especially now at this time Lexi Anderson, God, the entire Anderson family. I just pray that you would be with them, God. I pray that you would put your hand of healing upon Lexi, Lord. Give the surgeons and the doctors wisdom in what to do and what steps to take. And I just pray that you would be with the Anderson family as they go through this extremely painful and difficult season, God. And just give them the strength to keep going, God. Fill them with, give them your perfect peace. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So I see some of you have come in since we started. And as you can see, Pastor Dave is not here tonight. As I mentioned in the prayer, a really big struggle, trial, difficulty has come up. And if you don't know, you're on Facebook, I'll fill you guys in. Todd Anderson and Irene Anderson, who lead our worship, their middle daughter, who's had a heart issue that they've kind of been posting on Facebook about. And Friday morning when they went to go wake her up, they found her in her room and she was not responsive, didn't have a pulse, and the paramedics came. And after spending quite a bit of time, they were able to resuscitate her, and they took her to the hospital. And it's just been a whole roller coaster of ups and downs the last few days. But we've seen that no matter how stacked up against her the odds have been, God has been so faithful to hear our prayers and so faithful to hear our cries and to answer. Yesterday, though, I couldn't even begin to describe to you the medical terminology here, but she had another episode of heart attack, and at this moment, she is currently on life support, and her heart isn't able to pump on its own, and so she has a machine that's basically helping keep her alive at this moment, and the only solution to this would be she needs a new heart, and she needs one soon, and at the moment, she is number one on the transplant list, and they've brought in, now they're willing to accept any heart, any size, any age, and they've also increased the distance in which they're looking for a heart. And the time is very crucial at this point. We're looking at, we need one within 7 to 10 days is what they're looking at. And I'm going to keep my phone up here just so I can keep an eye. I'm going to be getting an update possibly throughout the service. But Pastor Dave this evening is with Pastor Todd and with the entire Anderson family. So he couldn't be here tonight as he's with them. In this time. But we're going to have a little bit of a special service here this evening. We're going to start off with just opening the Word of God and reading, but we're going to really set half the service to open up to prayer. We're going to have a group time of prayer and interceding, and we're going to pray for Lexi and everything going on, and also for the Anderson family. We're going to lift them up to the Lord. And the way we're going to do is I'll start, open us up, and then Mario will be up here. And in between prayers, we'll do a little bit, we'll do some songs and just continue to sing to the Lord and offer up prayers. But at this time, if you have your Bibles, could you turn with me to the book of Habakkuk, is where we're going to be reading. Feel free to use your table of contents. I know that's kind of a hard one to find. Pro tip, if you just go to Matthew, you can just go to the left 5 books. So as we're going to be praying, it's important that when we pray, we have faith. And how do we build our faith? How do we get more faith? By hearing the Word of God. So we're going to spend some time here in the Word, building up our faith and hearing what God has to say. What I believe is a message He put on my heart to share with us this evening out of the book of Habakkuk. I pray that you'd be flexible with me and show me grace as I just be sensitive to the leading of the Lord and as we do kind of a different formatted service here this evening. But hopefully you made your way. I don't see people looking around. See, if you have a Bible on your phone, this is where you feel like a pro because you just scroll Habakkuk, click, and you're there. But hopefully you're there by now. Habakkuk chapter 1. It says, "The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, How long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Skip with me, if you will, over to verse 12. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their nets and gather them in their dragnet. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their dragnet, because by them their share is sumptuous and their food is plentiful. Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart, or you might say watchtower, high tower, and watch to see what he will say to me, and what I will say when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. That's not iPads, that's stone tablets. For the vision is yet an appointment time. And at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because I will surely come. It will not tarry. And then verse 4 says, behold, the proud his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Father God, as we take a look at here, this little minor prophet tucked away in the middle of our Bible, God, I pray that your passage here today, 2,000 years later, would be relevant to us in our situation. God, I pray that your word would come alive to us, make it plain and simple, easy for us to understand. Give us ears to hear what it is your spirit has to say and the things you desire to stir up in us. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so kind of a weird scripture. You'll understand as I explain. But Habakkuk is a minor prophet. And now if you're not too familiar with the scriptures, you might read that and think, what, is he not, you know, why is he called the minor prophet? Because there's also these books called the major prophets. Now, it's not that, you know, it's not the major minor leagues in baseball. And, well, if he would have just tried harder, maybe he could have made it onto the major prophets list. No, what it is actually is, the minor prophets refers to just the size of the books. And as you can see, in my Bible, it's only a page and a half, the book of Habakkuk. But Habakkuk, although small in size, it really packs a punch. And there are many books in the New Testament, books that like Acts, Hebrews, Romans, and Galatians that all quote from Habakkuk. Those are all New Testament books I think we'd all agree are pretty heavy hitters. And they all quote from this little book, this prophet, Habakkuk. And what we read here were some of his prayers as he's praying to God. And we kind of get a sneak peek at his prayer journal, if you will. Now, the name Habakkuk, I found two definitions, really, for his name. The first one I found was wrestler. Can I hear you say wrestler?
Wrestler.
All right. And then the second definition is embrace or cling, or for our purposes, I want to say hugger. Can I hear you say hugger?
Hugger.
All right. So we have his name. Habakkuk means wrestler, or it can also be translated as hugger. So we start off with really kind of a gloomy opening. Verse 1, he says, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. So it starts off with just this real heavy tone. And as we see, you know, his name means wrestler, and we truly see that he is wrestling and struggling with some things in that are going on around him. He starts off with just describing the current state of Judah there. If you aren't familiar, Israel, there was a civil war at a time, and then the country split in half. Not a civil war, but the country decided to split as they followed two different kingdoms. And at this point, the ten tribes in the north didn't have any good kings. They worshipped false gods, offered sacrifices to idols, and at this point, they had been taken away already captive to Assyria because they didn't honor God. And at this point, Habakkuk is there in the southern kingdoms, the two southern tribes, and he is prophesying there. And he's seeing that, you know, they had some good kings and they had some bad kings. And he's prophesying during the time of a king named Jehoiakim. Before Jehoiakim, a couple of the kings, there was Manasseh, who was a super wicked king. He took the throne at age of 12. At age 12, he became the king over Judah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. After him rose a guy named Josiah, and he became king. If you thought it was crazy that Manasseh became king at 12, Josiah became king at age 8. But he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So it just goes to show that just because your age doesn't really play a difference, you can be wicked at age 12 as much as you can be godly. And so Josiah started a big revival. One night he couldn't sleep, and they were reading him the scriptures, and he turned the whole country back around and were really seeking the Lord. But as soon as Josiah died, we see that you can't legislate godliness. And the people were only following and doing what the Bible said because Josiah had made it law. And now this new king came up, Jehoiakim, he picked up right where Manasseh left off. And the scriptures say that he was even worse than Manasseh, if you can believe that. And so Habakkuk is here praying, talking to the Lord and saying, you know, how long shall I cry? You know, and will you not hear? And we read things here in this first opening prayer. He uses words like there's violence, iniquity, trouble. This is violence again. Contention. Jesus, justice never goes forth. Wickedness surrounds me. There's perverse judgment proceeds. And he's greatly troubled. He says, you know, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? You know, I cry out to you that there's violence happening here and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? We see truly Habakkuk wrestler is truly wrestling with some serious questions and some serious doubts as he sees all the wickedness happening around him. And that's not too different from us in our day and age. You know, we offer prayers to God and we say, God, why aren't you answering? It seems like you're not hearing our prayers. You know, we're crying out to you and I don't see my circumstances changing. I see the things continuing as they were. It seems like the wicked people, the people who should be being punished, are getting off scot-free, and the young and those who love you and are growing up in your house are the ones who are being troubled. And so we may feel like, I feel like Habakkuk here tonight, you know, really wrestling and struggling with some questions. And as we continue, we're going to see what we do as what we're supposed to do as we wrestle. In verse 5 through 11, some passages I kind of skipped over. It's okay if you go home and read those. You can see what I skipped over. But basically, God answers his prayer or replies to him. See, yeah, he had been saying, you know, there's so much wickedness. Why don't you do something? And God says, all right, I'm raising up the Chaldeans. I'm going to or the Babylonians. And they're going to go in, and he says they're going to be in verse 9, or in his reply, he says they're going to be as fast as lions, and they're going to be fast as leopards, and they're going to be fiercer than wolves in the evening. And so God tells him, all right, that's fine, I'm going to deal with it, I'm going to send judgment. And then with the second passage I read in verse 12, Habakkuk's replying, saying, you know, wait, don't do that. So the first his first issue was, God, why aren't you doing something? Then God replies and he answers, God, don't do something. You know, why are you doing that? Why did you answer my prayer in that way? You know, can I take that last prayer back? Can I, you know, control Z? You know, never mind. I don't want to. Can I take my last prayer back? And sometimes we wrestle and we struggle in seeing the way that God answers our prayers. Like Habakkuk, we offer our prayers to God as we're wrestling and struggling with things, but we don't like the way that God answered our prayers or answers it. You know, we maybe pray, you know, God, please help me at work. You know, it's just things have been really tough with my boss lately and my employees. They've been ridiculing me since I found out I was a Christian. They've been giving me a hard time and they've been trying to drag me down. And then something happens, unfortunate, to where you lose the job or maybe you get laid off and you think, God, what are you doing? Why did you do this? Why did you answer my prayer in this way? And it's normal to have this back and forth, this struggle, how these doubts creep in. If you're having doubts this evening, let me just say you're in good company. There are many people throughout the Bible who struggled, who wrestled, went back and forth with doubts. You know, like Abraham doubted whether or not God was going to be able to fulfill his promise to him to give him a son because of his old age. And Moses even doubted with whether or not he could be used by God because he didn't feel he had the ability to speak. And Jeremiah doubted because he was too young and he wrestled whether or not he could be used. And even John the Baptist, There's a passage, you don't have to turn there, jot it down if you want to look it up later, in Luke 7, where John the Baptist previously had been baptizing people, telling everyone, behold, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Christ, telling everyone, he is the Christ, go follow after him. And at this point in his life now, in Luke 7, he ends up in prison. You know, he had been doing everything right, directing people to God, and as God has been directing his life, he ended up in jail. And then he sends some of his disciples to Jesus and tells them, go ask Jesus if he is the Christ. Now this is John the Baptist, who I just said was telling everyone that Jesus was the Christ, was telling everyone to go follow him, and even he himself now was beginning to wrestle with these doubts and struggles. And so first off, just want to say that it's normal to have doubts. It's normal to wrestle, you know, with these, have these thoughts going through our mind and wonder, what is God doing? And sometimes these come from just, you know, in the midst of tragedy and heartache, and sometimes these thoughts come from the enemy as he just shoots those fiery darts into our mind. And so it's not wrong to have those thoughts, but what is wrong is what we do from there, or can be right. The sin comes with what we do from that point. So Habakkuk, as he's wrestling, as he's struggling at this time, and as we wrestle and struggle with things, what do we do? What do we do as we're wrestling with all these questions? Well, if you look at the text, Habakkuk, whose name means wrestler, and as I said, he truly is wrestling, has a wrestling match going on inside of his soul. What does he do? He hugs onto God. He's a hugger. He embraces. He clings onto the Lord. So as these doubts come in, as we struggle and have this wrestling match, so to speak, inside of our soul, do we let those things drive us from God, or do we use those things to drive us towards God? And my prayer is that we would follow Habakkuk's example and use these things to drive us towards God. Because it's better to deal with all these doubts, try to go through all these, life with all these thoughts and questions with God, than try to deal with our doubts without God. Now, there are a couple things I really want to focus in on, some things I believe that we can glean from the text, on how we can hug and what it looks like as we cling and embrace to the Lord. Look with me right there in chapter 2. He said, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. Or, I said, your Bible might translate it, the high tower. The first thing I want us to glean from and take away from this passage is that we must go to the high tower. Now, the high tower speaks of a place of prayer as he's going up to get closer to the Lord. And some things that we see specifically as he's going to this high tower is one that he is determined. He says, I will stand my watch. He is determined to seek the Lord. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You know, sometimes we go and we seek and we pray to the Lord and we give up after 30 seconds. Maybe we offer up one quick prayer, that didn't work, and we walk away. But we need to come and follow Habakkuk's example and be determined. Set aside time to really seek the Lord. Get away. The second thing we notice is that he isolated himself. He went up to a high tower. He put himself in a place where I don't want to be distracted. I'm determined to hear from God. I need to take some time away from my friends. I want to put my phone on airplane mode. I don't want to be getting any emails at this time. I'm determined. I'm going to isolate myself as I pray to God, because this really matters to me. I look around at the state of this nation, and it troubles me. I'm worried. I feel like I got another problem. Now I see the Babylonians are coming. Now he's even that much more determined to get away and really pray to the Lord. But the other thing that we notice is, as we see him goes to this high tower, he also has a heart of expectation. Look at the text. He says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. And then he says, and watch to see what he will say to me. He comes determined, or it comes with expectation, knowing he's going to receive from God, knowing he's going to, God's going to meet him there in that place, knowing that as he draws near to the Lord, that the Lord will draw near to him. He's actually a contemporary of Jeremiah, so maybe he was with Jeremiah when he penned, you know, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And so he's coming with expectation, knowing that God's going to meet him there. What if I told you guys, hey, this Sunday, put it down in your calendar, we got a phone call, somehow we got to line up to heaven, and Jesus has promised he's going to be here this Sunday. And he's going to preach at 1, he's going to preach, you know, at the 9 a.m. and at the 11. You guys would come with expectation. You guys would come, you'd probably be bringing video cameras, you'd be bringing recorders, you'd come with pen and paper, expecting and just ready, excited to write down everything that Jesus is going to say. But the truth is, every time we open up the Word, as we're here reading his Word, that we have that potential to meet with Jesus here. If we would just come with that heart of expectation, and this isn't to get legalistic, but I think it's important to come with pen in hand, right? Okay, God, you're going to speak to me. I want to make sure that I don't miss any of this. But all too often, we kind of, you know, roll out of bed, you know, if we do a Devo or maybe, some, you know, you have, well, I got half an hour, my tires are being changed, so we, you know, pop up, you know, the Bible app on our phone, and we kind of just lounge back, and let's see if the Lord speaks to me. Let's see if he has anything to say. I don't know, and you just kind of flip through, and let's pick a page, and you approach it so casually, not truly expecting to hear from the Lord. But as we wrestle, as we struggle, we must get away to the high tower and pray and seek the Lord, casting all of our cares to him. And I've kind of been reflecting on the idea of prayer, even before this. It's kind of, you know, obviously it's the Lord that works that in, the way he orchestrates that. He's been working on my own heart, how to pray. And the Bible talks about, you know, shouting to the Lord. And all too often, you know, we whisper our prayers, you know, to God. And we just kind of, you know, maybe you go pray for your lunch and you just whisper. Or we just pray inside of our mind. We don't even pray out loud. But one thing that the Lord really put on my heart, and again, this is between you and God, but to shout your prayers. You know, how bad do you want what you're praying for? Are you willing to, you know, we read about the positions, you know, sometimes people got in when they prayed. They didn't, you know, not that there's anything wrong with folding your hands and bowing your heads, but you know, read about people getting like in a laboring type position, getting on their knees, lifting up their hands in prayer, you know, shouting to God, you know, calling him to show up in a miraculous way and do something and move in our lives, in their lives, in their day. And we must do the same as we wrestle, as we struggle. We must hug and cling on to the Lord and be willing to shout and pray time and again and again and again. One last thing I just want to share with you too, as we right before we get ready to go into this time of prayer, look with me, if you will, at chapter 2, verse 4. God told Habakkuk, you know, as you receive this up in the high tower, now I want you to bring this word down to the people below. And as we are seeking the Lord up high in the high tower, we must bring the word down below. And he tells them to write it down on a tablet so that people running by could read it. You know, basically, John, I want you to write this on a big billboard. Chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by feelings." Oh, no, I'm sorry. "The just shall live by faith." By faith. Amen. So we do not live by feelings. The just, we shall live by faith. You know, as we sit here, you know, Habakkuk's wondering, God, what are you doing? Why aren't you dealing with these things in my life? Why does it feel like you're not answering my prayers? God, why aren't you showing up like I expected you to here in this day? Why aren't you reviving this country, these people? And Habakkuk says, the just shall live by faith. You will live by faith. We're not always going to know what God is doing. We're not always going to have the solutions. But we do what we are Christians, our job is to live by faith. To see through the eyes of faith. To hear with the ears of faith. And to feel, not with our hands, but with faith. And as we have faith in our prayers, we need to look, remember the past, the things that God has done, how he's shown up and done miracles in our day. And also look to and take that and have faith looking to the future, knowing that because he's been faithful then, he's going to continue to be faithful in the future. And that will give us peace here in the present. And that faith is going to help us as we wrestle and give us that power to move those mountains, to walk on those waves that scare us and terrify us. In closing, before we go into prayer, I want you to look at one more text with me in chapter 3. So I'm kind of skipping over a lot of texts, and I encourage you, if this really speaks to you, to go and read it on your own time. But after you know, the just shall live by faith, and then the Lord replies to Habakkuk, and he declares all these woes, and that he is going to end up judging the people there, and he'll deal with the Babylonians in their own time. But ultimately, he also has a revelation. He has this vision, and seeing ultimately that he realizes that God is sovereign over all, that he is in charge of all. He is the God of history. He is the Lord over all kingdoms. And so at this point, nothing has changed. God hasn't told Habakkuk he's going to change or not do, he's not going to bring down the Babylonians. Nothing, God hasn't changed at all. But look with me at verse 319. At this point, Habakkuk's writing a psalm, a song, and even though God's word, God's plan hasn't changed, the circumstances haven't changed, Habakkuk has changed. And he says, "The Lord God," in verse 19, "is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills." You know, the Bible, as Christians, this verse doesn't tell us that we're going to have an easy path. In fact, it tells us that we're going to have to go up some high hills. We don't have a promise that it's going to be an easy path, but God does promise to give us strong feet. As we wrestle, as we feel like we're wrestling against a stronger opponent, God will give us the strength to overcome him and to defeat our enemy. And how do we get that strength? How do we get strong feet? By spending time on our knees in that high tower, praying and clinging and hugging onto the Lord. And so now I want to go into a time of prayer and group corporate prayer. If Mario could join me up here, and I actually received an update from Pastor Dave, so I'm going to read this to you. He says, pray for a healthy brain. There's no swelling and no bleeding. So pray also for good results from the CT scan tomorrow, and pray for a donor heart. He says, God's people must trust him completely, even in the face of tragic events. Trust in believing without ceasing. Habakkuk pronounced, the just shall live by faith, in chapter 2, 4. When we trust in our trustworthy God, we don't need to know why. We only need to know him. And so at this time, I just want to go into prayer. I'll open us up. And then if you're listening online, unfortunately, you may not be able to hear everyone's prayers. But I want to ask that you would, in front of your computer screen, wherever you are, just pray with us as we pray together corporately. And in between some prayers, Mario is going to lead us in a song here and there. And then we'll, after he does the song, we'll resume and continue praying. But I'll open us up, and then I'll go ahead and pass the prayer on to, as the Lord leads, pray for Lexi and the entire Anderson family. Father God, we come to you this evening, Lord, wrestling and struggling, wondering what's going on. And we do look back with faith and see how you've been so faithful, as Todd's been posting, please pray for this, please pray for that, and keep hitting rock bottom, but we see that you've answered those prayers and you've been so faithful no matter what the statistics have been to bring Lexi through, Lord. And I just pray that because you've been faithful in bringing us this far, that you would continue to carry us, you would continue to hear our prayers, and continue to move in power. God, I pray that you would continue to give Lexi the strength, give her body the strength to continue fighting. As the doctors say, she's a fighter. The emergency surgery yesterday, they said, more often than that, especially with mobile equipment like that, she shouldn't have survived, but she did. And she's a fighter, and we know that it's because of your power and your strength, and you are sovereign over all, God. So we pray that you would just continue to strengthen her body. And we pray also for the Anderson family, for Todd and Irene, that you would just give them the strength that they need, give them peace, fill them with your spirit, and just give them that peace that surpasses understanding, Father. We pray also just for Kayla and Zoe, and we lift them up to you as they fear, for their sister and so much unknown and still. I pray that you just continue to uphold them with your righteous right hand, Lord. Teach them, hug onto them, Lord, and get them through this struggle in life, God. And we just also pray for, as Pastor Dave mentioned, just for, thank you that there's no swelling in the brain and that it's healthy so far. We pray for good results from the CT scan tomorrow, that way she can take her place back on top of the donor list. And we just pray also for a donor heart, Father. And even as we pray for that donor heart, God, we pray for the family that will ultimately have to lose someone for that to happen, God. But we just pray that whatever you are sovereign over all, we pray that your will be done, God. And I just pass this prayer on